Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
I'm Don Fluckinger, and on the line today is Tom Doerr, MD, a primary care physician in St. Louis and the Director of Innovation Research for Lumeris, a patient data analytics software platform. And his brother and venture capitalist John Doerr sits on Lumeris's board of directors. Thanks for squeezing us in between patient appointments this afternoon, Dr. Doerr.
My pleasure. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, tell me the story of Lumeris casting its lot with three large payers last year to acquire Navinet, and sort of explain how you're trying to mash up patient data on the physician side as well as insurance data.
Navinet connects 400,000 physicians to payers in the U.S. healthcare market. Navinet has a particular concentration in the mid-Atlantic states, for whom Navinet connects 100% of the payers and 100% of the physicians. So there are wonderful synergies that arise when everyone is connected through a single secure network. And Navinet is owned by several Blue Cross Blue Shield plans. Lumeris is a minority investor in Navinet, and Lumeris is actually administering and running Navinet, although we're not the majority owner. And Lumeris has been practicing accountable care for 10 years and teaching industry leaders around the country everything that we know about accountable care for 4 years. So Lumeris offers health systems, payers, and providers consulting services, technology, and operating support. And what Lumeris attempts to do is to recreate a Kaiser-like integrated delivery system, but to do it in a virtual space so that you do not have a payer owning all of the providers and all the elements of the system. We call it a virtual integrated delivery system. And that requires a technology platform, and it requires a fascinating technology called IPaaS, which is an acronym for an integration platform as a service. And when Lumeris goes out to payers to help them create a virtually integrated delivery system, you know, we're all used to hearing people talk about data warehouses and can you integrate our data warehouse with your platform? What we've been discovering is that payers describe themselves as, rather than having data warehouses, they have data landfills, just terribly disorganized information systems, legacy systems that do not talk to each other, that are the result of mergers and acquisitions over the years. And so what IPaaS does, this integration platform as a service, is it's a capability to create a single patient record by aggregating data and integrating multiple internal and third-party applications into a single user experience. So data interfaces are aggregated in a one-to-many relationship instead of the traditional one-to-one interface relationships. And there's wrappers that bundle multiple applications and modules and services into one workflow. And so what IPaaS, the magic of IPaaS is that users who have minimal IT training are able to take this user-friendly software and drag and drop data elements to create interfaces which they can then test and validate, so that it replaces IT integration projects with faster, cheaper, non-technical mapping interfaces. So then when you've got the data integrated and you've got the connectivity, you have wonderful opportunities in very specific ways to impact the workflow of physicians.
And the end idea, if I understand it right, is that a physician might be able to see something of a patient's longitudinal health record, you know, whether he or she has all that information in their own EHR system. Am I getting that right?
Yes, and it's above and beyond the EHR system. So with this ability to do deep integrations and interfaces with EHRs, for example, as well as the lab systems and, of course, the claims data, we get to a single best source of truth, which is hosted by the payer. So I've got patients scheduled this afternoon, and like for all my other patients, before I go to see them, I do pre-visit work. I go to this Lumeris patient portal, which I use for every patient, and I print a patient care profile so that I can do my pre-visit work. The patient care profile provides a well-organized, high-level summary of the patient's problems, lab test results, details from across the continuum of care. And the patient care profile is flexible and user-configurable, so I can generate a PDF document with data including the patient's diagnoses, their prescriptions, the procedures they've had, lab test results, and I can print this with information since the last office visit or for the last calendar year or the last 12 months or however many years I want to go back. And the usability is excellent because it tells me the number of data elements I'll get for each time interval before I elect how far back I want to go. So I usually like to get to about 10 pages worth of information. I render that into a PDF, which I can save or print. I print mine out. Then I take a yellow highlighter and I just go through and highlight information. You know, I have an EHR and I use it, but the EHR does not have this information from across the continuum of care. And it just continues to amaze me how much I learn that is going on that's not in my EHR. So I use both. I use the patient care profile, and then I use EHR information and bring the two together in preparation for my visit with each patient.
Well, and all of these data points you're talking about sound like they would be very vital if you were part of an accountable care organization. And sort of looking over the next few years as these accountable care organizations ramp up, how do you see technology enabling accountable care?
Well, I think the vital role the technology plays is in two roles. One is with population management, and let me comment about that a bit. And then the other role I want to discuss is about something called the collaborative payer model, because that's a vital part of accountable care. So with the as we all know, the face-to-face encounter with the patient is not the totality of healthcare. You know, the goal of population management is prevention, improving quality, and improving outcomes. And accountable primary care physicians track the care of all of their patients rather than limiting their attention just to the patients who make appointments. So state-of-the-art population management software, which Lumeris offers, radically transforms the office visits by providing this relevant information in an easily accessible format to me, the primary care physician. You know, I need and I want control of my data so that I can obtain vital feedback on my efforts to improve quality of care and to affect the populations of patients. And when we think about accountable care organizations, we really have to get beyond the traditionally adversarial relationship that payers and physicians have had. Back 4.5 years ago, Lumeris published a white paper introducing what we call the collaborative payer model. The collaborative payer model reinvents the role of the payer into a full-service collaborative ally of physicians. There are three elements to the collaborative payer model. One is that the payer uses funding strategically, not just to pay for claims, but also to fund reforms at the primary care physician level and to fund primary care physician capacity expansion. The second part of this model is a radical alignment of incentives between the payer and the physician and the patient in the form of member benefits so that everybody has the same goals. And the third is reciprocal responsibilities that are enforced through transparent collaborative contracting. And let me just make a comment about these responsibilities. So the payer has a responsibility to be transparent, which means to provide usable clinical and administrative information down to the level of the cost associated with each claim. So payers traditionally don't share this data with physicians. The collaborative payer model demands it. And the payer fosters information technology capabilities, which I've been describing, and provides education for physicians. Meanwhile, the providers, as part of this model, are responsible for data sharing. So I true up the information on the payer portal when the payer needs me to draw on the depth of information I have about my patient so that there's a shared database with the payer, which in fact does become the single best source of truth. And then I engage with the payer in other ways. So you've got this novel relationship between the payer and the provider, and then you have this information technology platform and advanced capabilities that enable the physicians to translate all this data into actionable information to improve the value of care. So when we think about the accountable care movement, one way to conceptualize it is that payers are increasingly being held accountable for the quality of care, which traditionally was a provider role, and providers are increasingly being held accountable for the cost of care, which was traditionally a payer role. So we've got a blending of these roles, and in the setting of a collaborative payer model, we're able to make the whole system work to get to this virtually integrated delivery system.
Your description of how technology is going to drive ACO care is great in theory, but in practice right now, there are a lot of interoperability problems between EHR vendors, let alone these other larger data systems. How do you see that working out?
Our integration platform as a service is a vital part of getting to this interoperability with EHRs. You know, I think we are ahead of the national standards when it comes to interoperability. One of the aspects of the patient care profile, for example, is something we call care considerations. And care considerations are messages from the payer driven by a rules engine on the shared database. And we are able to broadcast these care considerations into some EHRs. For example, we've done it with NextGen, we've done it with Clear Practice, to where there may be a care consideration that says that this patient is taking a brand name medication and there's a generic alternative with comparable outcome studies. And the primary care physician can then say, well, I want to address this today. They just check a box. And when they address that today, that will load a template in the EHR or that will load a prescription into the prescribing module so that there's workflow process interoperability as a result of this kind of integration capability that arises from this integration engine that we call IPaaS.
Getting back to accountable care and what technology will drive it and make it work. I just got back from the American Telemedicine Association conference. Do you see telemedicine, which has sort of been a competitor or you know, sort of an enemy to some primary care physicians? They feel sort of telemedicine equals outsourcing. But do you see that as an important piece of technology to enable accountable care models as, you know, physicians can use it for home monitoring or between-visit checkups on the iPad and things like that? Is that a sustainable thing now with accountable care?
I think it becomes sustainable with accountable care because of the way that physicians are reimbursed. Ideally, with an accountable care system, you have a profound alignment of incentives so that primary care physicians are sharing risk with the payer for the entire healthcare expenditure, for the entire healthcare dollar, if you like, so that I practice with a global risk contracting model where my risk is shared with the payer, but I have a personal financial incentive to deliver high-value, high-quality care in the most efficient way possible so that with this kind of reimbursement, it removes the constraints, it removes the traditional constraints on the time, place, and manner of care. So I have a positive personal business case to replace face-to-face office visits with visits that are delivered through email or over the telephone. I have a positive business case to make a house call if making that house call will prevent that patient from needing a hospitalization because I'm at risk personally for part of the cost of the hospitalization. So that the turf battles that we've seen with regards to telemedicine melt away because whatever is the most efficient way for me to deliver care to my patients, and I think telemedicine is, let's call it, an important emerging part of the future because it's still just beginning to catch on and beginning to become ready for prime time, but I think that it all makes sense. And when I can identify problems earlier because I've got a patient who's monitoring vitals, who's able to use telemedicine, then it's all for the better. So that the mindset that primary care physicians have is radically different when they are in global risk contracting, when their incentives, suddenly they're paid based on what is the total cost of care, how good is the quality of care. So they think about it differently. And they have a business case for coordinating care, whereas in traditional fee-for-service Medicare, they're not paid for it. All of these important ways in which healthcare is falling in between the cracks are all of a sudden resolved through a global risk contract.
So my last question is, from your point of view, how do you envision national health information exchange evolving and actually working? And if I'm listening closely enough, I would guess your answer would run along the lines of integration platforms like Lumeris or for lack of a better term, middleware is the answer. Am I right?
Yes, but I think that the information exchanges that are coming are still a very important part of the solution. I think that they help so much with privacy and portability, interoperability standards. That's all good. It's just that the holy grail or the value creation is beyond that. It is in the form of rules-based messages that are driven by the culmination of information across the continuum of care. You know, there's been a romantic notion that each individual physician is a self-contained scientific institute, and each doctor reads all the latest important medical journal articles and is able to assess which studies are valid and which ones are not, is able to memorize all this information, translate it into correct decisions when the doctor sees the patient, because of course the doctor knows everything that's in the patient's record. And that's just too hard to do. And as a practicing physician, I'm heavily dependent upon the information, the care consideration messages from my payer that help me to see the forest through the trees, to identify where are the opportunities for me to bend the cost care curve in the care of my patient, where are the opportunities for me to fulfill gaps in care, to improve the quality of care. This self-contained scientific institute model was described about 50 years ago, and it's very much passé, so that it becomes an important part of the solution then, and it is middleware, and it's the rules engine and the data analytics that accompany the middleware.
Well, this has been a very interesting conversation. I've enjoyed listening to your perspective. Thanks for your time today, Dr. Dorr.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit searchhealthit.com. Thank you.